So here are the rules, folks. Do not say the N-word if you are white or the B-word if you are male. Those are just two rules in the Manual of Political Correctness. The official manual, of course, doesn't exist, but all the rules infuriate Donald Trump, apparently, and his supporters seem to love it.
I think he's leading because he says what he thinks. And so I think a lot of people appreciate his candor and, well, his political incorrectness. Okay. So he really likes to just tell it like it is. And I think a lot of people, right or wrong, believe in what he says.
That's Lonnie Madding, a Donald Trump supporter, speaking to a reporter outside a Trump rally in Manassas, Virginia. This is a different kind of political correctness from the paranoid conspiracy theory version of PC concocted by ideologues like Rush Limbaugh, who like to talk about feminazis and liberal stormtroopers. This is a kinder, gentler, subtler, but still maddening political correctness. President George H.W. Bush spoke against it back in 1991.
The notion of political correctness has ignited controversy across the land. And although the movement arises from the laudable desire to sweep away the debris of racism and sexism and hatred, it replaces old prejudice with new ones. It declares certain topics off limits. What began as a crusade for civility has soured into a cause of conflict and even censorship.
Arun Venugopal is a reporter for WNYC's Macropolis. Arun, what do you think is going on here? When the language is changing, it's a sign of something subtler and deeper happening.
Well, I think this, what you're really talking about is sort of power being contested by power. And we're talking about certain norms of speech and behavior and politics that, you know, more conservative, so to speak, that are being challenged from the left. And I think that as there's been a growing sort of challenge to this, it's been going on for a while now, but this is what you're seeing. The response on the right is that people are saying, no, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me how to talk. And I think this is when things get kind of interesting.
Is this a healthy sign that the democracy is trying to come to a consensus? Or is it the dictatorial impulses of some power elite?
You know, I think that there are a lot of people who feel policed. It's not just, your stereotypical old white conservative guy who feels like, you know, why can't I just say what I want to say or whatever. There's a lot of people who feel like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what the right word is these days, you know, and language changes so fast, you know. I mean, it's coming out of social media and culture and directions that you can't keep, like, you know, you can't really stay on top of what's happening. There's a poll recently and saying that it's not just, you know, these old white conservative men that I was referring to. It's Democrats, it's women, it's minorities. A lot of people think that political correctness is kind of an issue. That said, you know, I mean, there are certain words we can all easily agree on are offensive and that should have been discarded a long time ago. So I think that it's really just like, this is how democracy works. Is it healthy? I don't know. Is America a healthy democracy? I'm not sure a lot of us would agree with that right now.
Yeah, that's a bad moment to be asking that question. But 68% of all Americans do think PC is a big problem. I mean, that's the poll that you're talking about there. So, I mean, clearly people have some anxiety about this, but it is a sign that assumptions are being tested.
On any given day, I am worried when I put something out there, even if it's to my so-called friends on social media. I'm kind of worried somebody's going to say, Arun, that's really offensive. You know, why'd you say that? You know, like, what kind of person are you? You know, you're going to be judged in some manner. And I think social media does keep us anxious in general. But I think this language thing is some way in which people are being held accountable, sometimes for good reasons and sometimes for completely ridiculous reasons.
What do you think politically is going to be the result of Donald Trump's candor and, you know, this discussion that seems to be injected now into the 2016 campaign?
I think that this is what we're really seeing in many different ways. It's the reflection of this rapidly changing demographic. You have people, you know, people of color, you know, Hispanics, African-Americans, immigrant populations, different ethnicities. There is sort of a critical mass that is sort of been formed in the last so many years. And I think that is sort of challenging a more traditional view of America. You know, and when people say, let's make America great again, I think that sort of makes other people scratch their heads. Like, great again? Like when? What are you talking about? What
and
is that
which
sort of
America?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which America? It's a very sort of like old mythic sense of America that probably never existed. And to the extent that we think it existed, it's kind of problematic.
But it does seem as though the political debate is really disconnected from the actual sensitive social debate that goes on about identity and race right now.
These terms like white privilege, which didn't really – nobody used words like this even a couple years ago, and now people use it all the time. It's a hashtag. I think that even terms like privilege, you know, they very quickly get kind of co-opted or overused or whatever it is. But the fact is, in actual interaction, people do realize, like, yeah, there is a problem when this huge portion of the black male population is essentially invisible. It's imprisoned, you know, when poverty rates are super high, when extraordinary ratio in terms of the number of, say, African-Americans who are likely to be shot in a police encounter versus people who are not black. These realities are sort of hard to deny, you know. When it gets into language, I think in some ways it does reflect this reality. But at the same time, people don't like to be told how to talk. At the same time, they kind of do obey. You know, the N-word, nobody uses it anymore.
That's right.
And there are other words as well that are pretty simple. We know that's a bad word. There's so much other language, though. I think it's kind of like, oh, who are you to tell me? You know, I mean, it's not such a bad word. And I'm not a bad guy. You know, why do you think I am a bad guy? And I think that sense of like, who is the authority person here? Who is the authority figure? Who should decide? Nobody can agree on that.
Policing and political correctness, a subject taken up by Arun Venugopal, reporter and host of Micropolis, WNYC's ongoing examination of race, sexuality, and identity. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.